If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 128, and I'm in the series of messages I've got as far as marriage and the family, and tonight the title of my message is God's Plan for the Man, and the world is lacking real men, but the world is lacking a lack of what real men really are, and real men is not a character gauged on your strength, on your finances, or on the possessions that you have. A real man in my category is a godly man that leads his family right, that leads his wife right, that helps in his church and does what God wants him to do before doing the things that he wants to do. And when you look at our society today, when you look at our world today, we lack that. Dads are falling short by the boatload, by the truckloads. We just are. We are. And guys, you know, I've hit you twice on two messages. Don't worry, the next one's for the women. But this is where we're at today, and my heart goes out to homes that don't have real dads. And I say it up here in the beginning, and I'll say it till I quit here or God calls me somewhere else. My desire, my passion for preaching and pastoring is seeing families made whole. A family, you think when you when you're not in church, you think that you're whole if everybody's home, if everybody's healthy, if everything's good. We think we're whole. We think the bills are paid, there's food on the table. But whenever you got one a Christian and one not a Christian, you're not whole. Amen. Now listen, I'm not being mean, and if you're in here and this is a situation that you're in, I feel for you. I really do. I pray for you that your husbands or your wives or your, and even when your mom and dad or you're saved and your children are out, you just have that emptiness in you that you cannot be whole because you are constantly worrying about their salvation. You're constantly worrying about if something happens like Brother Brett this past week, that just, hey, one car wreck and we're out of this place. That's a lot on a mom and dad's shoulders. That's a lot on a wife's shoulders. That's a lot on a husband's shoulders. So we have a lot of families. We have a lot of broken families in the United States of America and all over the world because people are not willing to commit. I'm just going to say it, just like today. It's a beautiful day outside. I get to work outside just about every day of my life, and I thank God for the rainy days. I thank God for the sunshine. I thank God for the snow. I just like to work outside. I hate working inside. So today we was up on a ridgetop today laying pipeline, and it was just beautiful outside, and it was just an awesome time. But you know what? You got a beautiful day, and then a lot of people say, well, you know what? I got some stuff around the house I got to get caught up on, and got this and got that. And I mean, you can look. This is one of the lowest crowds we've had on a Wednesday night in a long, long time. Our commitment level stinks as far as... Now listen, if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. Simple. We rely on that paycheck. I get up every morning, even if I don't want to or whatever, I get up and I go to work. My wife works when she's supposed to work. Everybody in here works when you're supposed to work. We are made and we are purposely made by God to serve and to worship Him. Not just three times a week. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we fall short. I'm not asking you to get in here 7 times a week and listen to me and all these other guys preach, but a real man is strong in his faith. A real man is strong beside God, knows what he stands on. A real man will lead his family right, even if it hurts. I've had people come to me and say, hey, I tell my kids that we're going Sunday morning, and they get in an argument with me. They tell me they're not going. They tell me this or they tell me that. What's your advice? They don't have an opinion. If they live under your roof, now listen, you are not supposed to be your kid's best friend. You're supposed to be their parent. Now, some people have great relationships with their kids, and I did. Still do. But I respected my parents. What they said was the end of it, and I'd try to go to one to the other, and then after a few times I didn't see it work. It was just, hey, suck it up and go on. You're not going to get their minds changed. But when a kid comes to you, or when you have a kid, let's go to church. End of story. Get your clothes on. We're going to church. I don't care if they're 30. If they live with you, they're living under your house and under your rules. So, what did Joshua say in Joshua chapter 24, and I think verse 15? He said, "For as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." That's the way our motto ought to be. You're in my house, we're going to church, whether you like it or not. I'm going to serve God, you're going to serve God. If I have to force feed it to you, they may come in here, they may sit over there and they may pout, they may do all these things, but I promise you, somewhere, somehow, the Word of God will sink in. It'll find a crack and it'll sink in wherever it needs to sink in. So they need to be here. But this evening, and I was hoping they would be more here, and that's the reason I want to record it, marriage values. Marriage values, and Brother Drew and Casey's getting ready to get married in a few months, and I got to start marriage counseling with them next month. And I'm excited. It's my first couple that I'm going to marry, and I told them that I would not marry them unless we counseled for a month. But I met with them for a month solid, and if they didn't like that, they could find somebody else to marry them, and they agreed to do it. But listen, our marriage values are out of whack. We look at somebody's family. We look at somebody's bank account. It's better off to marry a man that's not worth a cent than to marry a millionaire who's not worth a cent. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if he's got a cent in his bank account, if he's a good moral man, if he believes in God, if he follows God, trusts God, and goes to church, you're better off to marry a poor man than to marry a millionaire. Money can't fix salvation. Money cannot fix a home that has a split relationship as far as one serving and one not. Had a guy from this church come and ask me to marry him. I considered it. I sat down and talked with him. I'd never met his fiance. I said, I need to talk with her. I said, I need to know where she stands. I said, is she a Christian? It was one of them. I thought, no, it's either yes or no. And he said, well, kinda. I said, no, kinda don't work. And he said, I think she is. I said, well, here's this. I said, if she is not a Christian, I will not marry you. The Bible says, be you not unequally yoked. I said, so when you're unequally yoked, if you're a Christian, and he was a young Christian, just got saved here last year, and I know he was struggling, I know he was doing hard things. Well, if he's got a wife at home that never wants to go to church, never wants to read her Bible, never wants to do anything that the church has got going on, she wants to stay home and do all these other things, who do you think is going to favor? He's going to fold eventually. 99% of the time, the Christian will fold to the world. 99% of the time. My advice, if you're going to date someone that's a Christian. Find somebody in a church. Find somebody that is on the same level as you as far as the way you all worship and to serve God, and go to church with a good Christian boy or girl, young man, young woman. Don't be going to a bar looking for your spouse. That's not a good place to go spouse hunting. But I told him I wouldn't marry him. He got mad and I ain't seen him since. But I'm not going to start somebody down the wrong road. I don't want my first marriage to end up in a divorce in 6 months because one wants to do one thing and one wants to do the other. But back over in Psalms 128, this is God's plan for a godly man. But a real man, a man's values, they have to develop. Just like our kids develop, just like we develop. It's not all overnight. When you become a Christian, yeah, you're saved right then, right there, nothing to it. But we grow as Christians. We should grow as Christians. We should start climbing. We should achieve more. We should be able to do more. We should be able to please God better tomorrow than we did today because we should strive to be better. So a man, a real man, has to develop. He's not going to be perfect when you find him. Ladies, if your guy's just got saved, he's not going to change completely overnight. It's not going to be picture perfect marriage overnight. But listen, he's a work in progress. God's still working on him. You can still work on him. Men, if your wife's just got saved, she's a work in progress. God's still working on her as well. So let's see what it says in Psalms 128. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as the fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, the children like an olive plant round about thy table. Before that, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see the children's children, and peace upon Israel. What do we all really want in life? I want to go to heaven. I want to see my family go to heaven. I want to see my children go to heaven. I would love to see my grandchildren get saved one day. I would love to witness that. I would love to take part in that. I have been very, very blessed. I got to watch my mommy and my daddy get saved, and I got to baptize them both. I got to watch both of my children get saved, and I got to baptize them both. I'm the richest man in the world. I could care less about anything else in life. If they come to me in the morning and say, hey, everything that you've got in your IRAs is gone, so what? I might not live another day anyways. That's just something I'm hoping for one day, that one day I might get to quit and preach full time or something. But if you have a Christian family, man, you're rich. Because you go to somebody that their husband is lost, or their wives are lost, or their children's lost, they can't have true peace in their house. They're all the time worrying about something. When you can lay down your head at night and your spouse is laying beside you and your kids are laying in the bed beside of you, and you know that if something happens in the middle of the night and none of you all wake up, that you're all going to be together for eternity, man, that's peaceful. That's worth a lot of money. They don't sell a pill that can make you feel that way. They don't sell anything on the market to make you feel that way. So that's what I'm saying. When families are being made whole, it's a truly blessing of God. And if you're in here, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be anything. I just want you to know that I really am praying for you. If you buy a dishwasher, or if you buy a washer and dryer, if you buy a new TV, what does it come with that most of the time the men do not read? Directions, an owner's manual, right? You have to try it at least once to get it to work without reading the directions. Maybe two or three times. This is the owner's manual. This is a direction book for us. Now, we had a guy preach here one time that said that we should not take this and this should not be our roadmap to our life. He lied. He'll never be back. This is our roadmap. Men, women, young people, this is what we should read every day and ask God, say, hey, which way should I point? Which way should I go? Which way should I lead my family? What should I want for my children? It's not that I want a college degree for my children. It's not that I want one of my kids to be a professional athlete. I just want both of my kids to trust and follow God. If I succeed in that, I am a blessed individual. Very blessed. All the other things, God said He'd bless us with all the other things. Those are just add-ons. But if we have God in our life, it's the best thing we could ever have. There is a difference between men and women. There's a big difference between men and women. The way we think, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we handle things. There's just a difference. Now, there's a difference in the sense. We're not better. You're not better. We're equal as far as that goes in God's eyes. When God looks at us, the man is not better than the woman. The woman is not better than the man. But there is differences. If I get me and my wife to stand up here, there's a difference between me and my wife. I'm bald, fat, ugly. She's very attractive and skinny. There's a big difference between me and my wife. She's smart, can do all kinds of bookwork. I'm dumber than a hammer. But I got a strong back, Brother Glenn. That's what I told her the other day we was moving. We've been moving for 2 weeks. Pray for us. We are officially moved off Wilson's Creek. For the first time in my life in 34 years, I haven't lived on Wilson's Creek. But we was working the other day, and she can run 5 miles at a time. Tucker, she runs all the time. But we was trying to carry stuff out, and she can't carry 5 pounds. I said, you can run 5 miles, but you can't carry 5 pounds. I was losing my temper is what I was doing, I'll admit. But there's just differences. A man's supposed to be rough and tough and can handle situations and all these things. A security guy, a protector. When something goes wrong, you know, at the house, the dad is the one that's supposed to protect the family. And a mom's supposed to be there for their tender love and their care and their compassion. A lot of times dads don't have compassion the way that we should have compassion. But remember, I told you that we're a work in progress. But we're different in our minds. The way men and women think are different. Our bodies are different. Our brains are different. Our blood is different. Everything about men and women are different. God in the beginning, in Genesis 1:27, He said, I created them men and women. He made a difference there for a reason. But the world is trying to twist everything out of portion and say, you know what? Well, it's just equality. We're all the same. We're all the same. Everything's the same. Satan is doing his very best to twist everything out of his way. So the first thing I want to point out, you have to be a faithful walk. You have to have a faithful walk to be a real man. It says in verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. That's a real man. A real man that knows and fears God, knows who God is, knows what God's capable of. And when I say fear, I don't mean like you bow down and you pray that God don't strike you with a lightning bolt. I know that God's in control of everything that goes on in my life. Every good thing that comes is from the Father above. I understand that. And I reverence Him in knowing that He has all power. We all worry about all these wars and everything else. Until God says it's over, it's not going to be over. We worry about the petty stuff. We ought to fear God and walketh in His ways. So these are the things that we need as real men. We got to walk in His ways. The pattern ought to be set by the father in the household. There has to be a head of a household. There has to be. If you own a business, if you're in partners, one of the partners has to own 1% more than one of the... There has to be a boss. There has to be a head to the household. Now, ladies, if you're in here and you are not married to a Christian man, the Bible still teaches that he is the head of the household. But if he tells you that you can't go to church, don't listen to him. If he tells you that you can't read your Bible, you don't have to listen to him. If he tells you that you can't pray anymore, you don't have to listen to him. But you still need respect. Now listen, it's going to get tough. You got to respect your man. The man is the head of the household, and coming with the head of the household comes responsibilities. Dads, we have a responsibility. Grandparents, we have a responsibility to walk in the way of God. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Why in the world are we called fathers and God is called father? We are an image of God in the household. If we are an image of Jesus Christ, if we are an image of God, we should follow God. We should lead like God would lead. Now listen, this is getting deep and this is getting tough because I'm preaching to myself. So when I lose my temper and when I fly off the handle, after sitting down last night and reading and studying this, I thought, man, I fall short continually. Because the way that I lose my temper and the way that I get mad and the way that I snap, God's not like that. God don't get mad and angry all of a sudden just like that and just snap. So when we get the things and we get the situations in our life, and listen, they're still going to come up even after you're a Christian. Amen. You always have to remember, I'm supposed to lead the way God wants me to lead. Amen. If I'm leading my children that way, and listen, this when me and Seth used to run around all the time, if you wasn't here Sunday morning, Seth is the quietest, calmest. I've never, ever in my life, I've never seen a boy lose his anger. Never. His little girl was running around through here. She's just cute as a button, got red hair. And we was all standing here singing, and Seth was up there singing. And here come his little girl running down through there, and there was a little blonde-haired boy just right on her heels. And I looked up at Seth, and his face was as red as his hair. And I said, oh, buddy. And Jeremy told the boy's dad, said, hey, Seth needs to talk to you after church. And I looked at him, he said, man, oh man, he said, what am I going to do when I get older? And I said, hey, you know, I was picking, I was making fun. I was poking on him, I said, well, if she looked like you, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. And Jacqueline comes home and said, hey, the other twin was chasing Marley. And I thought, you know what, when we was young and we was the one out chasing the girls, it was funny. I wasn't feeling nothing for the dads then, you know, I was just, and now that it's mine, my anger control level I have to watch. I'm supposed to walk the way God wants me to walk. So a faithful walk, a worshiping father, a godly husband, one that treats his wife right, one that walks the same way God would walk. Who's the bride to Christ? The church. The bride in the household is your wife. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. So the husband should have enough respect, enough reverence for his wife that no matter what, no issue, what, no matter how long you've been fighting, you've been bickering, you would still love your wife enough that you'd die for your wife at anything. If you've been fighting for 6 months, you still have to know that you're walking the way God wants you to walk, and Christ loved the church enough that he died for the church. You still have to love your wife. It's just part of God's plan. There's going to be bickering. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be fights. But slow down. Take a breath and you'll get through it. Wives and kids need to see dad walking with God. They need to see dad reading their Bible. They need to see dad on his knees praying, asking God to lead him the way he needs to be led. Not, God, I want to do this and this is the way I'm going to go. God, you show me the path that I need to take. You show me where you need me to be, and God, I'm going to go. One of them prayers, here am I, send me. God, what do you need me to do? Where do you need me to be? Not, God, send somebody else. It would be a lot easier if you send Tim so I can go to the ball games. God, whatever you need me to do, I'm here to do it. We don't hear that prayer much. Our children don't hear that prayer much. But if our kids hear us praying that way and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when it's Wednesday, when it's Sunday, when somebody calls, everything else gets put on hold. I don't care if you're mowing the grass. I don't care if you're milking the cow. If somebody calls a brother and sister in Christ and needs you at the hospital or needs you at home, you should drop whatever you're doing and go to them. Now, that's just the way I feel. I think you should do everything in your power to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's not just the ones in this church. Amen. That's brothers and sisters in Christ, I said. We need to love each other the way God loved the church. Why is it important to live godly? Because you're a role model to your children. And not only are you a role model to your children, you're a model of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. This is showing you where you need to be as Christians. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So until that man accepts Christ, he really can't be the husband that he needs to be. He can't be the dad that he needs to be because he's not following the right role model. You see, if a dad is out in sin, all that dad can do is follow either his dad or his grandpa or another man that he's seen and he wants to role model after. He's not going to follow what God says if he doesn't know God. So, in that Bible verse, it says that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Remember what I told you? There has to be a boss somewhere. One has to have control over the other, has to be in a little bit more power than the other. Now, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are all three. But God, Jesus Christ, is reverent to God. Somebody has to be in control. God is in control. We cannot pray to God, so God is therefore higher than Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is our mediator between us and God. God will not look and cannot look upon sin. That's the reason Jesus had to come, is for us to get a communication line to God. We couldn't do it without any other way. So, the man is the image of God. The woman is the picture of the church. The man is the head of the home. And you hold the most responsibility. There's going to be a judgment day coming. Remember Brother Mark talking about the books? Now this is scary. Dads, you have, grandpas, you have a responsibility of leading the household. You have a responsibility, the more responsibility than the woman, as far as when it's time to pray, when it's time to go to church, what comes first in your life, whether we're putting our priorities the way that they need to be put, and we will be held accountable as Christians for the way that we conducted ourselves as Christians. Even in our home, God still wants us to have church. Our children come here for 3 services a week. They get taught for about an hour, maybe 45 minutes of time back there, and you guys do awesome. I mean, hats off to the Sunday school teachers. But you know what? That's not enough. 45 minutes, 3 times a week, if we're lucky, by the time they get their crafts in and time they get them settled down enough to where they can actually do something with them. It's our responsibility to teach them this at home. It really is. How many times do you sit down and say, all right, it's time for Bible study? Now we'll tell them to go do their homework. Now you have to have that done before you go to class tomorrow. But do we just sit down and say, all right, now it's time for a Bible lesson? You have to have that done before you go to bed. It's getting rough now. School's important. I understand. I'd rather them go to heaven than go to Marshall. So a man's the head of the house home, you hold more responsibility. Jesus was faithful. If God said it, God did it. Jesus didn't say something. How many times have you broke a promise? Yeah, to your children. My kids have the best memory that I've ever seen. Dad, you want to wrestle? I said, we'll do it tomorrow. Thinking they'll forget by tomorrow. I come in, sit down in my recliner. Dad, you promised. Promised what? You'd wrestle. I thought, man, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? What about the next day? But you see what? Jesus Christ didn't go up to people and say, maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. When Jesus Christ said it, he was faithful. He went through with everything that he wanted to go through with. Even when Mary and Martha thought their brother was dead, and he was dead, he was buried, and he was gone, and they wanted Jesus there to raise him back or heal him before he died. That was God's plan. God had to use that to show all them people that he was really God. He could have been there when Lazarus died, and he could have healed him before he ever died. But it was part of God's plan, and he went through with it in his time. A lot of things we want done in our time, and we're not willing to wait on God's time. And I see this all the time. Well, I've been praying for this person for years and years and years and years, and they're still not saved. Well, don't quit praying. I mean, we want everybody saved. And if I could, I'd snap my fingers and everybody would be saved. But that's not God's plan. You see, God's plan is that everyone would come to repentance. The Bible says that he's a long-suffering God. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He works on everybody. He calls everybody. Not one person in the entire world has not been called at some point or another. God does his part. God does not fall short on his part. But because those people, when God calls, chooses not to come, that's not God's fault. You see, we say, well, why hasn't God saved them? God's trying. I promise you, God has done something. He has done his part, whether it's been through a song on the radio, whether it's been through the preached word, whether it's been through a grandkid or a child, the word has got to that lost person. That lost person has felt conviction, saying, you know what, something's not right in my life, I need to change. And at that point, they decide either to change or not to change. God's done his part. God has fulfilled what he needed to fulfill. Now, I'm glad and gracious that he keeps calling and calling and calling and calling. But he's done his part. If he called them once, he fulfilled his duty. He gave them an opportunity. He gave them a chance to come and be saved. That's the reason it says that He's a long-suffering God. That none would perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to come and to be what He is. Dropout dads. A third of American homes do not have dads in the home. 70% of the men in our prisons in the United States today, by a poll, did not have a dad in their home. You see where this is leading? If there is not a male figure in the home, if there's not a dad in the home, what does it lead to? Rebellious. Rules without regulations, rules without some kind of stipulations, leads to rebellious. It just does. You can go through and them guys are not afraid to tell you that, hey, there was nobody at my house to control me. There was nobody to tell me, hey, that is wrong. You're not going out. You're not doing this. So they just done what they pleased, and now look where they're at. You watch these TV shows about cops all the time. These thugs, and I'm just going to call them what they are. They're thugs. They're running up and down the road. They don't work. They don't have anything to live for because they have no morals at home. It's like wild animals. Just turn them loose and let them fend for themselves. That's the dad's responsibility. And when a dad is a pothead or a crackhead and all he's worried about having sex with some woman, he gets her knocked up and then he runs on down to the next house to knock the next one up, that's the reason our world is in the shape that it's in. Because we don't have enough real men. Oh yeah, they might have muscles. Oh yeah, they might have money. But a real man will follow God. A real man will walk the way God wants him to talk. A real man will listen to God and say, hey, when it's time to stay home, it's time to stay home. Even though I want to go coon hunting. There's sometimes dad just needs to be at home. I knew this wouldn't go over too good, but it needs preached. I mean, it really does. We need to stick it out. There's too many people in this day and times, when things get rough, when things get hard, they just tuck, tail, and run. You know what? It's better off if I just leave. No. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. Listen, the job that I left over there, there was 38 men in that office, and I was the youngest one out of all of them. Had more seniority time than the rest of them. I mean, I had some of them older than my dad. And they would come and say, hey, do you have 10 minutes to sit down and talk to me and cancel me for a minute? I said, what do you need to cancel? Marriage. I'm talking 30 and 40 years in marriage. I've been married for 10 years, and I'm younger than your children. And you want to sit down and have marriage counseling with me? So I say, well, yeah, let's sit down and talk. So we'd sit down and talk. Well, me and my wife had a fight. This the first one you've had in 30 or 40 years? No. What's this one any different from the rest of them? Well, she left or I left. Okay. What was the fight about? Well, I don't really want to talk. Okay? How am I supposed to fix something if I don't know what we're trying to fix? If somebody brings a tire down to you and it's got a nail in it, you know how to fix that, don't you? Because you see that nail. If there is no way to see something or nobody wants to talk to somebody, listen, a good marriage has to have communications. If you're feeling angry, tell them. You just have to talk it out. If you have to talk it out and then go to the opposite end of the house, that's fine. That's called venting. You need to do that every now and then. Go outside, do something. But don't leave. Don't just get mad and tuck, tail, and run and say, you know what? I've had enough. This was the biggest one yet. Never going back. When people do that, yeah, it might feel better when you leave. You don't have no responsibility anymore. You don't have all this stuff nagging at you anymore or whatever. But then there's the kids. And when dad's supposed to be there and dad's not there, or when mom's supposed to be there and mom's not there, you see, that's a broken home. That is a home that is in desperate need of God. So as Christians, and you're going to fight, when you fight, when you communicate, when you talk it out, You remember, your kids are watching. Your grandkids are watching. And every time that we're watching, if we're teaching them the way that we're supposed to be teaching them and teaching them the Bible and telling them what God really wants us to do, they know that the Father is the head of the household. They know that He is the model, the replica of Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be walking like Jesus is walking. Well, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that this guy right here don't walk like Jesus walks. I fall short daily, Ray. I mess up and I look back and I think, man, I'm a bad dad. Marley come in at my desk last night. She said, they always ask and I always tell them the same thing. They said, what are you going to preach on, Dad? Jesus. You say that every time. Well, that's about all they are to preach on. She come in there last night. She said, Dad, what are you going to teach on? I said, how to be a good dad. She went, huh. I said, you think Dad's a good dad? And she kind of flopped her hair back and rolled off. She said, yeah, I guess. But how many kids in homes don't have a dad that are sitting at a desk reading the Bible or sitting at a desk studying or praying? Or hey, it doesn't matter if you're a preacher or not. You can still sit at the desk and read your Bible. Buy you a desk. I advise you to buy you a desk. I advise you to buy you a lamp. Put that lamp on there and put your Bible up there like it's the best possession you ever had, because it is. That's worth more than anything that you got in your house. And I advise you to sit down there and let your kids walk by and see you reading the Word of God. I advise you to see you let your kids walk by and see you crying and snotting over the words of God, because God has spoke to you in a way that nobody else can speak to you. I go back and I look through some of my sermons sometimes, trying to get a repeat when I don't have anything else to preach on. And I'll go back through there sometimes and I'll find old sermons from years ago that's got tear stains on the pages where the ink's run. Can't remember what I was crying about, Terry. But at that time, at that moment, God spoke to me in a way that my wife couldn't speak to me, that my children couldn't speak to me. And man, that's nice. That's worth sitting up at night studying. That's worth sitting up at night and praying about. So the second thing is, the first thing, we need a faithful walk. The second thing is, we need faithful fruit, or a faithful work. Look at verse 2. Go back over to Psalms 128. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Labor. Work. Said that Sunday morning, a lot of people don't like to work anymore. We like freebies. But a God's plan for a man is to provide for his family. Go over to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. I'll prove it to you. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for the dust there art, and unto the dust shalt thou return. God was telling Adam, hey, you're going to work the ground, and you're going to sweat, and you're going to earn what you eat. You're going to earn everything that you have. Christians, it's hard work being a Christian. I will vouch to say that it's 20, 30 times, 40, I don't know, I don't want to put a number on it. It's way harder being a Christian than living lost. It's been both ways. Out there, I didn't care what, who thought what. Didn't care anything. Just live the way I wanted to live and didn't have nobody to answer to. But now that I see, that I know that God's watching me. Not only God's watching me, my wife's watching me. Not only is my wife watching me, my children are watching me. It's hard. Not only is my wife and my children watching me, you guys are watching me. Not only are you guys watching me, everybody up and down the road that I talk to that knows I'm a preacher or pastor, they're watching. So when I grab that hammer and aim to sling it over in the woods, I got to think, oh, who's watching? Somebody might be watching me. Ben, I get mad. I'm human. I get mad a lot. And a lot of times I lose my temper, Tucker. But you know what? God still sees me when I lose my temper. Then I wake up out of my little fairyland, whatever I'm in, and I thought, that was a dumb move. Fifth Street. You was talking about Fifth Street. Oh, come up through there today. Come up through there today. Now listen, you know, I mean, this has been going on for a month and a half, 2 months. You know that when you get to the top, it merges into one lane. Been that way for a month and a half. So you might as well get in the right lane when you start up Fifth Street going back towards Wayne. Mm-mm. Getting there and you get up there and you get in line and you start inching up car by car, and then all of a sudden, here comes this idiot in a Cadillac. And they sit there and they keep easing over and easing over and easing over like, you're supposed to give me your spot. I passed everybody in line. I thank God that I've got a company truck, because if I was in my truck, I'd run slap over top of you. Common sense goes a long ways with me. When there's a sign at the bottom of the hill that says, hey, traffic ahead, merge in the right lane. Light bulb. They know what they're talking about. When I tell you that, hey, we need to be godly men and women, we need to walk the way that God wants us to walk, and it'll make your life a lot easier. Road sign. Get in the right lane. Walk the way God wants you to walk. Do what God wants you to do. Have Bible study with your children. Pray with your children. It'll make things a lot easier in life. Tef, has your life changed in the last year? I've seen Dave grow like nobody. And not only have I seen Dave grow, but I've seen it in the kids. Anna and Drew. You, when one grows, the rest of you will grow. If you're not willing to grow, you're stealing from your wife and you're stealing from your children. Moms, if you're not willing to grow, if you're not willing to put more, sacrifice more for God, you're stealing from your children. When they ask you a Bible question that they learn in Sunday school, and you don't know the answer to it, that ought to give you the fuel to the fire. Say, hey, I need to read. Because I'm not educated enough in the Bible to know what they're learning in fourth and fifth grade class. Now, I'm just telling you the facts. I come in today and Jacqueline said, hey, ask them what they learned in Bible study today. And I asked him, Brody couldn't even remember what they studied about, or Marley couldn't. I asked Brody and he said, he's scratching. He said, of course Looney Tunes was on, so it wasn't like I was even talking. She said something about Jacob, and I said, did you, and he's into this wrestling Star, or not Star Wars, but action figures. I said, did you read about wrestling match today? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then she dropped him off at church, and me and him sitting back there, and he was telling me all about Jacob wrestling the angel. How his hip popped out of place, and I mean, he just, I was like, wow, that's nice. I enjoy that. When I know that my kids are being taught the way that they need to be taught. At home and here. So, we have faithful works. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to take my time since there ain't very many of us here. One book before Hebrews if you can't find it. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Look what it says in verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. What's it say? Now, listen, Garrett didn't write this. Don't get mad at Garrett. To be discreet, keepers at home, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. That's God saying this. Women, if you don't like this, it's because you have a sinful nature and you want to rule the household. Men, if you like this and this gets you all excited, you just want to be a ruler. You're in sinful nature. Men and women are equal in the eyes of God. But somebody has to have the responsibility put on their shoulders. And God chose the man. And here's the way, after hours of studying, here's the way I tried to explain it. It's like a butterfly and a buffalo. A butterfly is beautiful. It's delicate. It's light. It goes around from flower to flower, just taking what it needs and then going to the next one. It's the way I look at a woman. The man is the buffalo. Don't care what's in its path, it's going. When it comes to the beautiful flowers, it steps on the flowers to eat the green grass and goes wherever it wants to go. You can take a pebble and tie it to a butterfly's leg and it'll drop to the ground. You can take that same pebble and put it on a buffalo's back and it has no idea that it's there. Remember in the beginning I said men are different. Things that bother women don't even bother a guy. I'm just being honest. Things that bother women, men could care less about. Things that bother men, women could care less about. But you know where we meet? Is in our home. Me and my wife agree on what goes on with my children. Me and my wife agree what goes on in our home. Me and my wife agree where my kids are going and who's going to be with my kids and what my kids are doing when they get there. There's a middle ground for marriage. But marriage can't be whole. A home can't be whole until God's in the center of the home. When God's in the center of the home, all we got to do is go around God. If God's in the center, He's everywhere. If God's in the center of our lives, He's leading us the way that He needs us to go. The last thing is family worship. Go back over to Psalms 128. Verses 4 and 5. Behold, that thou shalt the man be blessed that fear the Lord, and the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the goods of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Like I said earlier, if the man seeks God and asks for blessings, what did God say He would give us? Blessings. If you don't ask for it, He's not going to give it. If you don't ask for your children to become great role models in the church, why are they? If we don't pray for our children to grow and be great Christians that does something great for God, why would they? If moms and dads are not willing to put the extra effort in so that they might be something in God's eyes that God can really use, a potential that He can use, why would the kids go that way? Oh, Dad was a good football player. He can knock heads with the best of them. So what? Mom was the prettiest cheerleader on the whole team. Feel sorry for your daughter, because every punk like me is going to be chasing after her. It's just the truth of the matter. You see, a lot of times people don't want the truth because the truth hurts. But the truth will also bring out the treasures. So what do we really want for our kids? They're over there, Jeremy's teaching them, the kids, the girls in the back are teaching them. That's great. That's our job. But it's your job, too. Mamas and papas, it's your job, too. It don't change when they come to mama and papa's house. It should still be, if mama and papa are Christians, it should still be God is the centerpiece of that household. Everything needs to work around God. Says the woman is a tender vine on the side of the house. What's a vine need to grow? Support. Vine either grows flat on the ground, but if it's going to grow up something, it's got to hold on or lean to something. Guys, that's what we're there for. We're the support for our wives. We are supposed to support our wives. Man, it's good. I can hear everything. My ears are ringing. But we're supposed to nurture our children. One more thing and I'll close. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Maybe this was just for me because I'm getting all these fuzzy feelings. Yes, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. This one really, really hit home with me. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them not up to wrath. Provoking our kids to do, pushing our kids to do something that they really don't need to do. And I mean pushing. Pushing them towards something that you want them to be when they really don't want to be it. Now listen, I know that you're a parent. I know that you're the one that pays the bills. But when it comes to a kid and a Christian, you're not the boss. I'm not the boss of my kids when it comes to what God's going to tell them what to do. If Brody's supposed to be this in the church or that in the church or whatever, Dad's not going to say just because Dad's the pastor, well, no, that's what you're going to do. You're doing this for me. That's not up to me to tell them. God will tell them what He needs them to be in the church, and I ought to hush my mouth and say, son, if God's called you to be the choir leader, be the choir leader. Marley, if God's called you to be the Sunday school teacher, be the best Sunday school teacher that you can be. Marley, if God has called you to be a pastor's wife, be the very best pastor's wife you can be. But do it for the glory of God. Amen. Do it because God's called you to do it. Don't do it because mom and dad want you to do it. Don't do it because mama and papa want you to do it. Do it because God wants you to do it. So out of all this, I'm trying to tell you and I'm trying to get across to you. God wants you to raise your children in the image and in the path of Him. And if you're not making them come to church, if you're not making them read, now listen, I said making them read their Bible. We make them read their math books and their science books and their social study books. Make them read their Bible. And if you're not doing that, you're failing. I love you. I really do. And I don't like, just like he preached Sunday night and he said he didn't like enjoy it. There's sometimes I don't like telling people when they're wrong. But if we're not putting God first and making our kids know that God is the focal point in their lives, we're setting them up for destruction.